Hello again. So what we're looking at here is my configuration of the lab environment for those Azure Resource Manager template labs that we talked about earlier. This is part, what part are we on? We're on part three. Part three, starting counting at zero. And in this episode, we're going to talk about how I got those member servers connected to the domain. As you recall, we have a domain controller, we have an admin machine, which is our administration, kind of the workstation for most of our work during these labs. We've got an edge machine, which is a router. It's going to be our router to a virtual private network connection to a cloud network. And then also our sync server, which is going to work in our labs around Azure Active Directory. Now these machines are all up and running. They're all resources in this Azure resource group that I created, that I automatically created with NICs and other resources. In fact, if I look at the entire list of resources that were created and are part of this resource group, we see the virtual machines, the NICs, the IP addresses, the virtual network, and the storage. All up and running, all happy, and going about their business. Now, how do I connect to one of these virtual machines? I should probably show you that. I actually have a remote desktop connection session open to this admin machine. But if I wanted to do that from the console here, I just simply select the machine here, or I could select it from the list of virtual machines. And then I can connect to the running machine. Now, at some point, if I wanted to, I could actually stop the virtual machine as well, and I could do that right here. Now, I'd want to do that from the console here because that not only shuts down the virtual machine, but also deallocates the virtual machine so that there are no compute hours accruing while I'm away and doing some other thing. So what's a really good idea is that when you're done working with the labs, make sure you do shut your machines down. And I showed you a scripted way to do that as well in the template or the PowerShell that I used to build the lab environment. But let's talk about how this machine was built. Now I can click connect and it'll actually send a RDP file to me, which is a remote desktop connection file and a configuration file, and then allow me to open it and essentially launch the remote desktop connection to that. Log in as contoso/admin with the password, a lab admin, and so on. So let's go to that virtual machine right here. And there's nothing too special about this machine. It is a server. It is named admin. It is joined to the domain. So that's what we want to see. Excellent. Now, there are a couple of other customizations we did as well. You'll notice that the IE enhanced security configuration is actually turned off. You know, that's interesting. That's not usually the default. So we'll show that in another video on how I actually managed to do that and some of the additional automation for configuring the machines as they needed to be for the labs. But let's get back to domain controllers. In fact, on this machine, I have Active Directory. I also installed Active Directory users and computers. And so we see we have the tools here. And I'll go ahead and just take a look at the domain. Sure enough, it's contoso.com domain. My computers are here. We happen to be on the edge, the admin machine right now. And I have a domain controller called DC all up and running and happy. So, good. How did we do that? Well, let's go back to our examples because that's a really great place to start. And again, I have this great document that hope you'll take advantage of with links, and a couple of the links that I put on this page are for the sake of Azure Quick Start templates. So let's go ahead and open that up again. And in this case, I'm interested in finding an example of how to join a domain. I don't know if this is going to be the right search or not. We'll see. Oh, look at that. Perfect. Join a VM to existing domain. It's right there for us. So I click on this. And it's going to bring me to the documentation on it and the parameters required to make this happen. It looks like this particular example is going to require a virtual network to have already been created and provide that in the parameters and so on. And you can kind of take a look at that at some time. But I can learn more about this on GitHub, and this is actually going to bring me to the GitHub repository where this particular example exists. And we'll see that we've got a couple of important files, the main ones we've been dealing with, such as the azuredeploy.json. And this walks you through the parameters, the variables, and then the resources, such as the public IP address, storage account, network interface, and then finally the virtual machine. So I used this example. I built a virtual machine. I built a domain controller in the cloud. I used this to then add a machine to a domain in the cloud, and it all worked great. So I learned this is a good example. And I took some of this code and I put it into my own files. So let's bring up our Azure Deploy JSON file that we're using for the deployment of the lab environment. And if I scroll down a little bit here, I have, let's see, go down to one of my, let's just look at the admin machine. So this is the admin VM. This machine was created only when the storage account was first created and it had a NIC, so that was the dependencies. We get the hardware configuration, the OS profile, the storage profile, and so on. Storage profile image reference is kind of an interesting thing, too, to understand. This is how you target a particular image in Azure to use as the base image for the virtual machine you're creating. You're required to have information about who the publisher is, the offer, and the SKU. And you can take a look at my variables and see what I used for that. There's great documentation online. In fact, I recorded a video on how it is you can find all the different images, the offers, the publisher offer SKU, and then the version. Latest just tells me to use the latest version of whatever SKU it happens to find. Now, this particular virtual machine, unlike my domain controller, doesn't require a data disk, so I didn't create one, but I did create just the OS disk. More recently, I actually optimized. I was actually creating data disks on all the virtual machines. I hadn't really realized I was doing that until I was revisiting some of these things, so I removed them from the machines that don't need them. The network profile, associate the NIC with this virtual machine, and then some boot diagnostic information that it'll log. And then the interesting thing is the resources. Now, like we did with the domain controller, we're using an extension called the JSON Add Domain extension. So that's kind of interesting. It's not DSC. It's actually a different extension. And this different extension is actually documented and available. You can actually find information about the Microsoft .compute virtual machines extensions and all the parameters and properties that are required for this to work. This particular extension, of course, to be able to join the domain is going to require that this machine exists and already is running. So that's the first depends upon. And then the second one is the fact that the forest exists, because, of course, I need to make sure that the DC is up and running and has restarted and has an Active Directory forest all set to go before I can actually launch the domain join. So even while this virtual machine is being created, the DC might be building the domain. So things can happen all at the same time until there's a dependency that requires one to be finished before the other starts. And that's what these are great for. So this particular example that I pulled again from the Azure template examples, basically sets the publisher, the type handler version, and then the settings. And of course, these are the parameters that are coming from the parameters section up above. The domain name, the path to the OU, we're going to put it in, the username, and whether or not to restart the machine. These are all things that this particular type of resource require. And that's it. I mean, that's all I had to add for this machine, and I did the very same thing for the other two machines as well. The admin machine, the edge state machine, and the sync machine all have to be domain joined, and so this same example with different variables, of course, to match what machine you happen to be creating, so be aware of that. But a lot of copy-paste and making, you know, verification on various variables and various values, and eventually get it up and running and have all those machines joining to the domain. So pretty simple, pretty straightforward, and hopefully you'll find this useful in building your own lab environment or taking this and using it in some other new and interesting way. We'll see you on the next one. Oh, the next one, by the way, I should say, is going to be all about how we then copy documents down to the machines. You'll notice, in fact, if I take a look at the admin machine, we'll just open up the File Explorer quick here, that this admin machine has a lab files folder. And that lab files folder is populated with the lab examples, things that you'll need for doing the labs. And of course, the documentation on the labs describes where and when, where to find these files and when to use them. So I had to make sure that this mirrored what the original labs had. And these were all copied down from a file that's online. In fact, if we look in my local copy of my GitHub repository, which is the same as just a mirror of what's online, there is a zip file here called lab files, and there's a file here called get lab files. So we'll talk about those in our next video. So we'll see you then.